Howdy! Thanks for tuning into Orion Photo Group's exclusive podcast. For each episode, we're going to dive into the lives of OPG's photographers and videographers across the country. We're going to talk shop, hear their stories, and listen to any advice they want to offer us up. So grab a tasty beverage and settle in for some fun conversations featuring our little community. That's you. Let's go! Welcome to another episode of Success Stories with the Orion Photo Group. These stories are about people who are photographers and videographers that shoot across the country in different places in the country. They don't shoot all over the country, but they shoot across the country in different cities where they're the experts in their city. Today, I'm thrilled to be, I think you might be our first associate photographer that's joining us. And I met Paul Spatrini. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
I met Paul last year. Was it last? It was last year, right?
Yeah, last year in a little meet in Providence.
Right. I had one of our meet and greets in Providence, Rhode Island. Truth be told, Providence is one of my favorite places in the Northeast. And we met at a really cool bar and had some drinks and lots of appetizers. It was a small crew. So we had lots of drinks and appetizers. I know I was feeling pretty good on my walk back to the hotel. But thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you very much, Jason. It's an honor and a pleasure. This is my first podcast, so I'll try to do my best, right?
and I'm glad that this will be your first podcast. We'll try and make it as easy for you as possible. You know, real quick on and I really enjoyed that I think I had like a day and a half in Rhode Island, in Providence specifically, and I had never stayed in downtown Rhode Island. So I got a couple of mornings that I got to go out running, and then, Providence is pretty hilly. So I didn't run up the hill, but I had never really kind of toured the campuses of RISD, Rhode Island School of Design, and Brown, right? Is it Brown, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty well known for a lot of universities and colleges. I mean, you can pretty much throw a stone and hit one of them.
Right.
Downtown Providence is really good with, I don't know if you had a chance to check out Johnson & Wales. They have a campus over there that's pretty good. URI has an office somewhere around there. There's Providence College, Boston University. There's a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and some of the just when you walk up the hill from the river there, the campuses are just absolutely gorgeous. I think it was Johnson and Wales that I ran into, like super old campus, like really old.
Yeah, there's a lot of history in this area. That's one of the things I love. It's more modern, I think, than Boston, walking in the downtown Boston area, where you kind of sense the contemporary vibe of the city, and it kind of feels like its own little place. But, you know, just 2 or 3 days down in Providence, you can see a little bit of everything the country has to offer. That's one of the reasons I love Rhode Island, is there's so many things to see, so many things to do. And in the wedding industry in particular, I mean, I can shoot all kinds of weddings in one weekend in one state. I can have 3 completely different feeling weddings that you would think were shot in different parts of the country, you know, from the rural areas of Exeter to the city landscape, kind of urban vibes of Providence to the ocean area of Newport. That's all within a 30-minute drive, which is really kind of what I think is one of the more unique markets in the entire country.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And you know, coming from New York, I would get up to the New England area at least a couple times a year, whether it be Rhode Island or Nantucket or Boston. And I've been very, very fortunate to shoot in lots of different places. And you're right. You can be in a very modern city setting and have a very elegant wedding. And then you could, the next day, you could be shooting a backyard wedding or on the beach. And the summers up there in particular are really, really my favorite. I miss those like New England mornings in the summertime. There's nothing like it. And you can have the winters.
I mean, honestly, the winters aren't that bad. You know, I'm speaking as a wedding photographer, but winters are slowly turning into my favorite time, mostly because I'm off and I can relax a little bit, catch up on editing, do all that fancy stuff. But I mean, honestly, the winters haven't been bad the last couple of years. But I love Rhode Island and New England in general, because you really get a taste of all four seasons, and you're not, you know, you don't get sick of the hot summer like you might get sick of the winter in Vegas or California or something. It's a really pretty place.
Yeah, and on the coast, it's a little more mild, my wife and I used to go up to Maine and lots of places in New England. It's where we got engaged, and I remember specifically we were in the town of Algonquit, and we were eating dinner, and the waitress knew that we had just gotten engaged, and she said, "Oh, you know, it's nice that you're here this weekend. It's a little bit slower. This is pretty much the last weekend of tourist season, and then we have our summer." So it was like, I think it was like October 20th or something like that, and you know, it was already starting to get pretty chilly. And she said that you know, we love the tourism, we love the people here, we love the weddings and all of that stuff, but you know, we get our town back come early fall. But anyway, we want to get to know you a little bit better, I think. So for those of you to get to know Paul a little bit, you've been a journalist. You worked with, I'm looking at your photographer bio. You worked for the Southern Rhode Island newspapers, and you've had lots of awards. So you definitely seem like you're a photojournalist first, and wedding photographer is definitely a big part of what you do. You also shoot some sports, and you kind of knock around to a lot of different things. You've been with, George Street, Orion Photo Group for quite a few years, right?
Oh, I believe I joined in 2014. I was a baby photographer back when when I took a chance on George Street. I had no idea what I was doing. It was actually really, it's been a great experience. It's part of the reason that, you know, 9 years later or whatever it is, I'm still with George Street. And occasionally people ask me, you know, why am I still associate shooting for George?
That was my first question for you. Yep.
That's what people ask. A couple weeks ago, I just shot my 300th wedding of my career, which is a big milestone.
That is a big milestone. Which
is crazy, because, you know, it really, from about 2010 is when I started. Hmm. And it wasn't until I hooked up with George Street in 2014 and 2015 that I started to see my bookings really increase and get the experience that I think you need as a photographer. I started with George Street as a second shooter because, I mean, quite honestly, I wasn't confident enough as a lead shooter. I was shooting weddings for some friends and people who might cut you a little slack if you mess up. Mm-hmm. But generally, I didn't have that confidence that I needed to be a real wedding photographer, to have the experience to shoot in all kinds of settings, right? So my first George Street wedding, I was working with Aram Orchanian and of Captain Studios, who at the time was – I think he was working as George. He might have been the person who hired and interviewed me, but he was the first person I worked with as a lead at George Street. And our first wedding was on a beach setting in Newport, and it was backlit. The lighting was just horrible. And I just remember doing what I thought at the time was just an awful job. But as a second photographer, the pressure wasn't on me to develop everything. So I had some time. So I had a little bit of room to kind of learn my craft, but at the same time, still deliver quality photos, you know, that the couple's expecting to see, but also learning on the fly. So it's been 9 years. I know you probably want to know why I'm still an associate shooter. It's because I still love doing that.
Yeah.
Being able to go to a wedding for George Street is a really great experience as a second shooter because I finally get to be creative. I'm not sitting there worried about, did I get the photo with the bride, the groom, the aunt, the uncle, niece, nephews, cousins? I'm just there to accentuate what the lead photographer is doing, help them in any way that I can help them, you know, and shoot stuff that's a little more creative. You know, a lot of times when you're a wedding photographer and you kind of get down in the mud with everything, you lose focus of why you're doing this. And for me, it's always been telling stories and finding the emotion in photos. And when I'm a second shooter, I love doing it just because there's no pressure. I can walk in, you know, I meet the couple that day. I'm usually with the groom and the groomsmen, and they're more relaxed. And I can find ways to create photos that help the lead photographer's coverage, but more importantly, that provide the couple at the center of the wedding with images they wouldn't have seen, and images I may not have taken as a lead photographer because I have a checklist in my head when I'm a lead photographer. When I'm a second shooter, I can be more creative. I can look for things that I may not have seen at first glance. So part of the reason I'm still with George Street in that role is I just love it. I really, really love it. And I try to open my calendar as much as possible to get those weddings, those last minute weddings that of venues I wouldn't have been at or couples I wouldn't have worked with and memories I wouldn't have been able to capture otherwise. And honestly, like that to me, I don't want to give that up.
And I totally understand that. There's a lot of and I'm not discounting you still being an associate. I'm not looking down on that in any way. I do think that you know, there's something to be said for really spending the time to hone your craft. And I think we talked about this a little bit. And you know, when I started my career way back when as a shooter, you know, I probably shot 50 weddings before I started going out as a lead on my own. And even then, it was baby steps where, like, I was, you know, the photographer would leave at the end of the night and I was just kind of taking over for him. And then slowly he was leaving earlier and earlier as the day went on. And I think that was kind of a practice back in the day, too. Like, you know, the bride and the groom loved to see my boss, Steve, at the time. They loved to see Steve, even if it was for half an hour, and then he would take off. And that kind of went on. And it was definitely a really slow way to rip that Band-Aid off for me. And it gave me the opportunity to really hone my skills. And there definitely is a craft to it as far as still being able to be creative and at the same time get the shots that you need. And there are definitely people, my studio manager who left with me, who worked with me as my second shooter for many, many years. And Paul, I'm sorry, my video keeps freezing, so don't worry about it. I'm still here. She loved second shooting. And I talked to her recently, and she hasn't worked for me for over 10 years. And she says, my favorite thing to do is still go out and second shoot weddings. That's all I want to do. And I've opened my schedule up, and I make a pretty decent living doing it. And I have really no interest. I love going, I love shooting, and then I love leaving at the end and handing over my cards, and they mail them back to me when I'm done. So I totally get that. And also, she has also said to me, it's helping me build the portfolio that I want to build, because I would never be able to do that starting here, and I'd be kind of pigeonholed into these weddings. I want to be able to show lots of different kinds of weddings. So I kind of want to switch the conversation a little bit in that you worked as a newspaper person in lots of different kinds of pictures and styles and genres. One of the things that we've been struggling with in OPG is gathering portfolios, and we've had photographers come to us and say, you know, I need to gather my images. I'm having trouble gathering my images. Can you offer any advice into how you call, edit, and then save your images for your own portfolios down the road and stuff like that? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
So everything I do is kind of a filter system, I like to say. So when I'm at a wedding, I'm very focused on working with the bride and groom and capturing everything I can. That's my photojournalism background. Is you learn, you have to shoot everything and then find the story later. So when I'm at a wedding, I literally may shoot 4,000 photos at a wedding. I don't know if any of them are good until I start working on them. So I filter them down from there into the photos I give clients. And then from there, as I'm working with every wedding every year, I'm thinking ahead to the future of finding that portfolio, of finding the 48 images that tell who I am as a photographer. The way I do that is as I'm shooting and editing a wedding, I'm pulling 20 photos or 30 photos or whatnot from each wedding, because I know at the end of the year when I update my portfolio, I can't process the 200,000 photos I shot in 1 year, but I can process the 20 photos from that April wedding I haven't thought about in months, the 25 photos from the March wedding that I really, really loved that I haven't thought about since I shot it. At the end of the year, once I finally have a chance to breathe and I've delivered all my deliverables and my clients are all happy and I can think about the future, the hardest thing for me is to decide what direction I want to go in.
Right.
And that's why it's up to past Paul to push me in the right direction. So I narrow it down to maybe a couple of hundred photos, mm-hmm. all broken up into parts of the day, so that when I can, when I want to do my new portfolio and I want to tell the story of who I am entering a new wedding season, it's easy for me to say, oh man, I need a photo of the bride getting her dress zipped up. What was that wedding where the mom really started laughing? Oh, that's that one. Yeah, okay, great. That's awesome. Or I may see photos that in the moment just completely wrapped my entire world around it. It caught my emotion. It really made me feel something. I might not think about that a couple months down the line, but when it comes time to update my portfolio, my job as a storyteller, as a photojournalist, is to figure out how to put together the best pieces to create the puzzle that I am so that I can present that to my clients. When I'm working with George Street, you asked, or Orion, you asked about building the best portfolio. I think you have an obligation both to yourself to show what your current style is, but you have a bigger obligation to show what you can do for clients, mm-hmm. to help them understand what your vision of being a wedding photographer is, because it is so easy to research photography and research weddings and see the same six photos of a pretty bride, a pretty groom, and a pretty background, but that might not be them, right? If you're showing beach sunset photos and they're getting married in a mill, that's not them. You have to find a way to break through those barriers and anticipate what clients you haven't spoken to who are researching you at 2 a.m. with a bottle of wine. You have to anticipate what questions they're going to ask and what images they want to see. And to me, that's why photojournalism is so important, is because you really are the entire time you're telling a story with your photos, right? The cliche, every photo tells a picture is worth 1,000 words. I think it's more that a picture is worth every word. So every photo you take has to be the noun, adjective, and verb in a sentence that conveys what your message is to your clients. And to me, it's hard, but if you approach it with organization and you have a system in place, you can figure out pretty easily what you're looking to tell, what story you want to convey to your brides, your grooms, your parents, whoever it is that's researching you.
That's the perfect answer, and definitely from a photojournalist's perspective. But, you know, I want to hit on a couple of points that I think are really important in that, and very similar to how I would gather images too. Every wedding has, I believe, whether you're first or second shooter, those images that you have from that wedding, I believe there's generally 5 to 6 hero images, like the ones that are the best images that you, they are the images that define you as a photographer right then. You're as good as your last shot, they say, right? Those are the 5 or 6 shots that you could say, this is the best photo I've ever taken. Generally, you're going to find that at each and every wedding. So I usually will start there, like those 5 hero shots, and then I'll have, you know, 15 or 20 other favorites. And I always try and make sure that I have that folder of heroes. I call them heroes because they're the best images from that wedding. And then those images may be in other folders, getting ready, blah, 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 blah. But I know that I can go into my folders of every single wedding that I've done, and there's that folder of heroes. So when I'm looking, when I was super organized, I would tag those, and, you know, so that I could find them in Lightroom or something like that. That was super organized. And that's taking it to the next step. But for the people that we're going to now, I think it makes it, you know, when we say we need your best images, and then all of a sudden you have to sit at your desktop. I mean, how many times have you gone to your desktop and you'd be like, okay, I need to find my best images? That's an incredible task, right? So, you know, if you can say to yourselves, okay, well, I shot 15 weddings next year, there's 15 folders for you to go into. That's an hour's worth of time versus hours of time that's just going to be a frustrating experience for you.
So let me ask you this from your perspective as a photographer.
Yeah.
If you're picking 5 or 6 hero images, right, as you described it, how do you avoid just taking the same, you know, oh my God, I love this bride and groom portrait. And then suddenly your entire folder is bride and groom portraits, but you don't have details, you don't have group shots, you don't have first looks, you don't have ceremony shots. To me, a part of my job is thinking of every component of a wedding to tell a story. My perspective on a portfolio is you have to be able to show, start to finish the end a wedding in your best terms, because you never know what your clients are looking for, right? You never know what image is going to speak to them. If it's a bride who just recently lost her father, and the father-daughter mm-hmm. dance is going to be a really emotional moment, mm-hmm. she may connect with those photos more than you know. She might, that might be the thing that really hits her heart. If it's a bride that's the bride and groom that are really a big party crowd and they want those dance floor reception photos. How many photographers do you know that don't even show those because the lighting's not great, yeah. the motion blurry? You know, it's great to show the beautiful sunset, mountain, cliffside, veil in the air. It's awesome. Fantastic. Cool. Let me see the nitty-gritty. Let me see what you're really doing when things aren't perfect, right?
That is a really great question. And truth be told, many of the folders will have the same images. And my way that I would try to circumnavigate that would be before every wedding, and this is the truth, before every wedding, I would look at my homepage and my website and say, what is missing here? And I would try and capture those. So I'd give myself my own photojournalistic assignment. And I would say to my assistants, we really need these images. We really need these images. My Achilles heel was always detail shots. And I'll let you guys in on a little secret. Brides want to see themselves looking beautiful and they want great detail shots. That's it. On your website, like, of course you need everything else. You need great dance floor pictures and you need great bridal party pictures. But my thing, when I was in the pinnacle, like the peak of my career, was really taking great portraits of my couples. And I did that a bunch of different ways. And I was kind of known for that. If I can make my bride look really hot, whatever their style was, whatever their looks were, my job was to make them look as beautiful as possible. And that was kind of my thing with my fashion experience. So I would really use that as a selling feature for me. And it would attract those kinds of clients. But detail shots, obviously, are things that are really, really important. But yeah, giving myself an assignment for something that I'm really looking for, that was always a big thing for me to kind of deal with that issue. And so
you hit on something I think is very important, right? Mm-hmm. And when you're a wedding photographer, to me, and you're thinking about portfolios, think about images, and think about how to communicate with clients, to me, it's a matter of authenticity. So mm-hmm. I spend, and you may have researched this when figuring out who I was for the podcast, but I spent literally 2 weeks figuring out how to write my bio in a way that was authentic to me because I wanted to turn away clients who weren't my perfect fit. So I do the same thing when I'm creating my portfolios or showcasing weddings and choosing what to put on social media, all that stuff. I want it to be authentic. To me, I don't know what photos are going to really connect with people. I can only go with what connects to me. So it actually was kind of funny when you said that the detail shots are what matter to you. To me, I tell my clients when I first meet them, I'm terrible at detail shots. Thumbs up. because I'm being authentic. Now, am I terrible at them? But you know, it's literally the last thing I want to do. I can take photos and I can take photos of your centerpieces, but I'm doing those because I'm hitting a checklist and I'm authentic about that. So I think to me, if you can convey who you are to clients, it goes a long way to getting them to trust you and breaking down their walls on the wedding day so you can connect and get the photos that you really want to walk away with.
Yeah. And you do need to be authentic. There's definitely things that I didn't like doing as well, like table pictures or something like that. And when they would ask me about it, I would be like, I'm going to do it, but here's a better solution for my time. Maybe we should hire somebody else to do that. Just do those. We can have them come for 4 hours, or we can do this, we can do that. So there's always an answer to that question, and you know, like that. I'm going to ask you one more question going back to the beginning of our conversation, and that's beach weddings and shooting beach weddings and offering some of your knowledge on that. So I think people, and I know that you have a lot of experience doing it because that's what you guys do up there, but shooting midday on the beach is, you know, brides and grooms imagine going out on the beach and shooting these beautiful weddings, and then it comes May. It's supposed to be a nice day, and all of a sudden the breeze is blowing in from inland. So you know what that means, right? That means bugs, which there's nothing you can do about that. But worst lighting scenario. Work us through how you shoot in that situation.
I mean, Jason, you're assuming that I have all this experience with beach weddings. I mean, it's just weird that I just did one. I just did one 3 days ago. We were on the beach. It was, I think it was 95 degrees out. The wedding ceremony was at 1 o'clock. The lighting was awful. So you just go, well, thankfully I have experience with this, right? Mm-hmm. So that's when I started with George Street, that was one of my biggest weaknesses was knowing how to work around those things, yeah. Knowing when to use some off-camera lights or when to direct flash. I've had a couple of beach weddings that have been so bad with the light reflecting off the water behind the couple that you just got to throw some direct flash on and maybe that'll work. You experiment to see what will get you the photos that you need. The good thing about living in Rhode Island is that this is part of what we do. So you have to trust that your previous past experience is going to be able to help you overcome these things. Mm-hmm. Now, wedding that I had on Monday, I had an amazing couple, really awesome wedding day. It was an interracial couple. So part of the problem when you're shooting an interracial couple in midday sun is you have to expose for two people individually. And in this case,
that's hard.
My bride was Caucasian, so very light dress, very light skin. My groom was African American, so dark skin, dark tux. So it kind of worked. I've had previous weddings. I actually shot one for Orion. I photographed Bobby Brown's daughter's wedding in the hot midday sun. And so she was African American with a white dress. He was very Caucasian and Irish with a dark tux. So you have to just sometimes shake your head and go, this is going to be a day. This is going to be a day where we have to experiment, leave ourselves 10 to 15 minutes before the ceremony so we can play around with some test shots to figure out what angles work, to figure out, okay, I can't shoot directly behind them because there's a giant sunspot in their head. But if I turn and move, shuffle over 15 degrees, I could still get the first kiss shot without the light directly behind them. Or, you know, I can shoot from the corners. That gives me a little more flexibility on getting direct angles. My approach when I shoot these weddings is to just spray and pray, baby. I'm all the photos I can take as fast as possible, get as many possible photos as I can from all the angles that I can, because I know that when I sit at my computer and I'm drinking my cherry Coke and it's 2 a.m. and I'm culling those photos, there's going to be a lot that are going in that trash. But if you do enough preparation and you're calm in the moment, you can still walk away with the client never knowing that it was chaotic and stressful for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I'll just add my thoughts on that. Like I've been in that situation too. You're it's midday. They're walking down the aisle. The sun's either right above them, so they have these raccoon eyes, or the sun is just so bright you can barely see through your camera. And it's, you know, directly behind them, or worse, it's directly in front of them and everybody's just, it's just blaring light. I've discovered in that, and I'll just share this with everybody who's listening, direct on camera flash done right is your savior. And it is ugly. It is not like the most pleasing light in the world, but at least it's not completely overexposed, or you're just adding enough light to it to overpower the sun to give yourself something that's, and it doesn't work all the time. And typically what I would have done was on camera flash directly at them, like pointing straight at them. And then where I would have started would be like some sort of softer lighting, like, you know, a dome on top, but then you're going to need an external battery pack if you want to do it. And then on camera flash directly at them. And if none of that works, I would do exactly what you do, which is just spray and pray, find an angle that's going to work, and hope for the best.
Part of the other thing that, I'm not sure how many photographers that are listening to this have tried different methods of lighting, but part of it is also finding that right mix, finding out okay, this is not what I would normally do, but this situation calls for this. With me, the way that I have always, you know, kind of developed was initially bounce flash and getting that really nice soft, you know, room, you know, the reception ceiling to illuminate my couples really nice. But then I realized I really have some holes in my game. So this, the last year and a half, I've been, you know, playing with off camera lighting. Mm-hmm. And so it's having as many tools in your toolbox that you can rely on, because sometimes, man, things just aren't going to go right. And you really, as a wedding photographer, your bride and groom don't want to hear about it. They don't want to hear, I couldn't shoot your ceremony because the chef.
That's not an excuse.
They don't care. And the other thing that I've learned, I think this is also a really important thing, is you are your toughest critic. Your clients, they will not, or most of the time, they might not notice some hairs that went in their eyes because the wind was coming. They're looking at the emotion of the moment. To them, imperfect photos might be perfect for them. So for me, that's why I kind of gravitate toward photojournalism, mm-hmm. is because I want to show you what it really looked like, mm-hmm. right? I mean, anybody can do the really cool, you know, styled shoots, mm-hmm. and with all the perfect lighting conditions, mm-hmm. and the beautiful backgrounds. For me, I want you to look at these photos in 20 years and be back on that beach in that moment. I want you to feel your husband's clammy, sweaty hands when you went to put the ring on him. And the only way I know how to do that is to recreate what I see to the best of my abilities in the camera and in the file that I deliver to you, so that you can travel back in time in 20 years and go back to those moments. So it might not be perfect for me, but as long as it's perfect for my clients, that's perfect.
And that's, you know, what it's all about, right? Taking care of our clients and not making it about yourself. And unfortunately, you know, with many wedding photographers, it takes some time to learn those things. And, you know, I had to remind myself daily when I was going to a wedding, maybe a wedding that I was excited about, a venue that I had never been to before, and I had an idea of what I wanted to do. And, you know, halfway through the day, I realized that wasn't going to happen. And I had to remind myself that this isn't about me and my portfolio. This is about serving your clients and doing what's right for them. And, you know, it's sometimes can be a hard lesson learned. Based on your feedback that I can see in your profile, you're definitely one of those people that takes care of your clients. And we here at OPG appreciate that. And I definitely want to get you at some point to join us as a lead as well.
Well, someday. Honestly, Jason, I think you've asked me that every time we've talked. I completely understand. I get that. It's so much fun. And maybe eventually I will. You know, every client I've worked with from Orion and George Street, whether it's Lily Lime or George Street, because I've worked with both, every client, I end up walking in there. And I don't know them. I've never spoken to them. I've only spoken to the lead photographer. But almost every one of my clients from Orion have been amazing people that I would love to have photographed on my own business as well. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's why I love working with this company and being an associate photographer. Maybe someday I will move up to the lead position. But honestly, it's so much fun. I really appreciate this company. I carry the flag whenever the discussions online comes about these types of companies. You know, George Street has treated me right. Orion's treated me right. It's been a great community to be involved in.
Right on, right on. We appreciate that. All right. Well, that was a quick 32 minutes. I don't know how we got through that so quickly, but it kind of reminds me of that night that we were in that bar in Providence. So I'm gonna end it here. And thank you again for sharing your wisdom and your knowledge and your stories with us. Thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure. Pleasure talking to you. And we got to hit that Providence bar again soon.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. And we'll talk about that after we end this. So, all right. That's it for this episode of Success Stories. If you'd like to be on an episode, everybody has a story. I'm a pretty easy person to talk to. I'd love to hear your story. Please email me, jgroup@orionphotogroup.com. And like Paul, after this conversation's over today, he's going to get a $25 B&H gift card. And that should at least pay for the taxes on whatever he buys at B&H. But you know what? Who doesn't need a B&H gift card? So please hit me up. We'd love to have you on, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Success Stories. Take care, everyone. All right, that'll do it for this episode featuring OPG's Best of the Best. Would you like to be featured in an upcoming episode, or do you have a suggestion for somebody you'd like to hear from in our little community? Please email me, jakegroup@orionphotogroup.com. That's jakegroup@orionphotogroup.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing your suggestions. We hope that you enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to hearing from you and your story. That's it for now. We'll see you on the next episode. Have a great day.